With CarGurus Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and CarGurus Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder CarGurus is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with CarGurus at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
Hello and welcome to edition 153, crumbs us a lot, of the NRF1 podcast, your Formula One podcast recorded right here in Norfolk, UK and brought to you by our proud partners Grand Prix Racing Online. You can sign up to their game by visiting nrf1.uk or gpro.net/nrf1, and that will be my football close season sorted when I get signed up to that. My name is sports journalist and sometime F1 correspondent Michael Bailey, and in this podcast we are going to preview, of course we are, the 2017 Bahrain Grand Prix, although I do feel I should say Bahrain because that's actually how it should be pronounced, so I'm going to try and do that from here on in because I'd like a pronunciation, as people know. Joining me on the pod for tonight's F1 fun once again are Carl Cumbers, Richard Baxter and Stuart Hodge, and you'll be able to hear their full intros on the last podcast, which is of course our Chinese Grand Prix review. How are we all, everyone, since we last spoke? Good?
Very good.
Splendid.
Fundamentally better.
Well, that's good, because you were in a good place before, Stu. So.
Yeah, that's it. It's a strong mental attitude that I've got.
Some Formula One drivers could learn a lot from you. Before we get stuck in, as I said, our China Review podcast is available to listen on your podcast player of choice. Just visit nrf1.uk/podsubscribe and you'll find your link, whether it's iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Spreaker, Stitcher, Acast, whatever. I'm sure you're getting bored of the script here for the links, but go and find them. Bahrain, what is going to be different here compared to the other two races? Anything, gents? Anything? What's going to be different?
It's going to be at night time.
Yes, it is going to be at night time. We like that, don't we? It seems to have done something. Well, it seems to have fundamentally improved the racing at Bahrain, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's just the cooler temperatures or the fact the circuit, it's now, you don't just see desert and bright sunshine, you see something
black.
Else. You see something, I don't know.
The night. Mystique, that's much better, yeah. You're on Rich's language.
But it's added something new to the circuit, it's made it more exciting. That might just be from the 2014 duel we saw between the Mercedes, but it's definitely improved the racing there. And I said about the same point about three times then.
That's right. Well, so might as well. It gets it, you know, ingrains it if you say it three times. I should mention we're at the Rush Cutters public house in Thorpe St Andrew, which is probably what distracted you, Rich. The train went past, and we know you're a big fan of trains. So what's going to be different, gents?
Cool. Is it going to be warmer? Possibly.
Well, it won't rain. It won't rain, will it?
No, it won't rain.
Barclay. There you go. Stu, this is why we brought you on. It's why I made, you know, the negotiations, the high level pay. Right, no, there wasn't any pay. Yeah.
So I think it might be warmer, so we might see characteristics of the Ferrari, Mercedes, might see a bit more of them and see how they deal with that.
We haven't really had a warm race yet, have we? It wasn't particularly warm in Australia, was it?
No, that's quite late in the afternoon race. So we'll see. But yeah, it's strange how Bahrain's gone from a pretty boring track to, like, say, since it's been under the lights, to a track that people are quite excited to watch.
I don't like a lot of the new tracks, right? I'm basically a stickler for the 1990s Formula One calendar.
Just on repeat, let's just relive it.
Let's just do it. Bring Adelaide back, do two Aussie Grand Prix, call it the Southern Hemisphere Grand Prix, whatever.
If Bernie had still been in charge, you probably would have got all those things.
No, he's all about the globalisation, isn't he? Going to places that have got money but absolutely no prestige whatsoever. And to be fair, I think Bahrain comes into that category.
And to be fair, you got a point, because of course the calendar for next year was released, I think, was it last week? And Malaysia's been dropped, and they're going back to France, and the German Grand Prix is back as well. So,
and so that, how many races is that?
21, I think.
So where are they going for the French Grand Prix?
Guess it's
Paul Ricard
with the sprinklers.
They are going to have sprinklers.
Well, there's sprinklers on the track. I'm not saying during the race there'll be sprinklers, but there is that option. If the race was boring and there was a technical glitch, there could be.
Paul thinks we should put them on, but Ricard's against it.
Malaysia being dropped, is that official? It's definitely out of the question now. Like, properly scrubbed, not going to suddenly reappear, because it does happen.
I think it's gone.
That's a shame. I like Malaysia.
I like the two straights.
Yeah.
With the hairpin. Yeah. Love it.
I think they're making more money out of MotoGP and they won't make enough money out of F1.
That was it. We had this discussion last year. It's just basically the circuit's choice, really, isn't it?
Yeah, they just weren't making enough money out of it. So it's a shame. Yeah, it was a good track. Yeah, but I suppose, you know, we'll see what Paul Ricard.
That was ingrained into the calendar far enough back to be accepted by him as a decent track.
Stroke well enough designed, I think.
Quick question. So what about Texas? Is that accepted?
No.
Oh.
People like the... I don't know. Like, my idea of a good American Austin sort of high-octane filled sort of day or evening is watching Stone Cold Steve Austin.
No, we're not going to bring this onto wrestling.
No, but, like, to be fair, I was just going with the Austin pun. I don't really... I don't know. I think the United States is built for a different kind of racing, and I just don't think F1, when I've ever watched it, really has worked there. But that might be quite a controversial point of view, I don't know.
I think they're getting closer. I think they have got closer, but we'll see. Fair play to them actually releasing the calendar this early. Is that normal? Or is that... Because they do release provisional calendars quite early. I've always been frustrated that they haven't confirmed it early enough, but...
Was it just announced what was happening with those tracks, or is it...
I think the whole calendar was released, but I didn't pay much attention to it, to be honest. I just saw the headline and it said that.
I've got to be honest, this is the first time I've heard of it. But so I'm trusting you, Rich, that it's true. But then I did see stuff about the Malaysian Grand Prix, and yeah, that would be a... Well, that is a shame. But there we go. At least we've kept some of the big ones. It's actually brought me on to an interesting point that in the F1 fans global survey, which the podcast will be doing once we do that, ka-ching, one of the questions on there, not that I've seen it all, is tick the 5 Grand Prix that you think are essential to the calendar. And I tell you what, nailing it down to 5 is very difficult. We're not going to do it now because we're going to save it for the podcast. But it was a cracking question. I was like, holy shit, I can't answer this. Anyway, you were going to say something, weren't you?
About that, actually. No, I did have a thought. Generally, we've obviously got the new Formula One management that have taken over from Bernie. Have we seen any sort of discernible impact so far in terms of the way that the product is marketed, if not the racing? Anyone?
I think it's a bit more sort of social media. Because yeah. I heard beforehand that teams weren't allowed to film on site within 5 kilometres of the track.
That's very true.
So I think that's changed. So it is better. And there seems to be more highlights on Twitter and Facebook and stuff. So that's been better. But
that was happening last year, though, wasn't it, as well? So there has been an evolution there anyway.
But I think it's going to take a little bit of time, isn't it, for them to... It's difficult to say.
I think there's no doubt it got stale with Bernie. It needed some sort of invigoration.
Did need something jacking up. Were the graphics different to the first race weekend? Because we didn't have the little segments. You know that bit that we thought was really good. They didn't do it on the qualifying. The little segments and intervals.
They didn't have it. I was really annoyed about that because I was watching the lap, thinking, okay, what's happening here? Then you get to the sector one and it was plus minus whatever, and I was a bit annoyed that you couldn't see the lap progress because that was really good. And I think because in Australia, of course, they had loads of problems with the graphics. I wonder if they just thought this is too confusing, we'll drop it for now. Yeah. And we'll continue testing it or something and try and get it to work. But
they're obviously testing it on the hoof, so we'll keep an eye on it anyway. My other question for Bahrain was going to be, what's going to be the same?
Hamilton.
These aren't easy questions. hang on, we've got a big one here, Rich. We've got a big one here. Talk us through it.
That's a big one. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's the same one that went past earlier.
I was waiting to see if you'd twig, but it was, yeah, it's gone back the other way. It's done its stuff in Norwich. Anyway, yeah, this is obviously staying in.
I don't know where this reputation for liking trains has come from. But
from when I started asking about them, basically, Rich, just now.
I'll take it.
Yeah, good, good.
I never knew train commentator was a job, but maybe there's money in that.
It could be, Stu, it could be.
As long as you can count, that's fun.
Yeah, so what's going to be the same? I mean, Lewis...
For Lewis Vettel battle?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Mercedes and Ferrari going to be at the forefront of things. Harking back to the previous question. It'd be interesting to see if one team can sort of have a discernible gap, particularly in qualifying, to see if there's something there that suggests that one team might be sort of pulling away under the new regulations, actually being a bit more innovative and managing to get those tenths of a second, which make all the difference.
Yeah, absolutely. Bearing in mind, Valtteri Bottas missed out on second, on joining Lewis on the front row by 1/1000th of a second in qualifying. So, I mean, the difference that in itself might have made. Also, we didn't touch on this at the time. What did we make of where Seb was on the grid box? He was basically next to it. He wasn't in it. He was like next to it. But level, they said no penalty. Is that because he wasn't any further forward? Because even then, surely all four wheels have to be in your pit box. Grid slot.
I listened to the Checkered Flag podcast, and when they interviewed Mika Salo, who's the driver steward, he kind of suggested that they didn't really know what to do because it never really happened before. I think because as long as some part of the car was in the grid slot, he was okay. But because he was looking for a dry patch, apparently. But it was interesting to see how far you can go.
You can't say one part of your car in the grid box.
No, I was thinking that. You're just opening a whole sort of litany of things where people are going to be going, oh, there's a tiny bit more grip if you shunt half a metre to the left. You know, it's like it's going to be... That could open up a whole can of worms.
And Christian Horner, in fairness, has sort of suggested that it needs clarifying. So I guess we will get that.
I remember this was years ago. I can't remember what year. But Giancarlo Fisichella reversed into his pit box, his grid slot. Sorry, I'm getting confused now. He reversed into his grid slot because he got in the wrong one or something, and he went and lined up properly. Why could not say to him, oh no, you got to reverse and go drive him properly at the top? Because you can't say, oh, the majority of the car was in, so it's allowed, or you know, it's crazy.
Let's face it, you go to Asda, right? If you get the majority of your car in a parking space, then other retailers are available, I should add.
Unless Asda sponsor us, and then they're not.
Oh, yeah, exactly. We're all for the Walmart. But yeah, if you park across two parking bays, then essentially what you're doing is you are that asshole that is parking across two parking bays. And essentially, the same rules should apply, no?
Exactly. Or just drive into them. Yeah, there was a good clip on the internet somewhere of someone parking across two spaces. So someone drove up and literally shoved it into one space. That's obviously damaging the cars. Yeah, might as well have been. Fantastic stuff. Okay, a couple of little questions for you. Who has won the Bahrain Grand Prix most since 2004, this is, which is also when China was introduced?
Very good question. I'll guess Alonso?
I'd guess Vettel.
I would go with Vettel.
Fernando Alonso with 3 wins.
Whoa, nicely done.
How about the constructor with the most wins?
McLaren?
Red Bull.
Carl said McLaren and then no.
Like, just because you were wrong when I went with you last time, let's say maybe Mercedes, maybe.
So who did you say was the driver with the most wins?
Alonso. I was thinking 2 wins with Renault and 1 win with McLaren.
It's Ferrari. Ferrari. 4 wins, but that's mostly because Felipe Massa as well also has won this race 2 times as well. So,
I forgot Massa even drove.
I've got to be honest.
Just a minute.
Well, yeah, he barely is now. Just to point out, obviously, I had no idea what those were until I looked them up. So, Fernando, you know, don't get chin up. You never know.
He finished 12th.
Well, if he has another incredible race, anything is possible. Anything is possible. This is a message for you, our dear NRF1 listeners. In the last year, there is a young British startup that has shaken up the shaving industry. Over 100,000 men have joined Cornerstone and are now getting a smoother shave than ever before. It's a simple combination of great products, amazing customer support, free delivery, and fair prices that has made Cornerstone the fastest growing shaving company in the UK. It's basically shaving's equivalent to Max Verstappen. They've won numerous awards for their super sharp German engineered razor, just think Mercedes, and outstanding customer support, like a Charlie Whiting hotline, along with endless plaudits from the media, including GQ, Esquire, and the Daily Telegraph. That would be Max Verstappen again. Cornerstone know they need to earn your trust, though, so to let you try their award-winning razor for a fraction of the standard price, with this offer you can get £10 off their razor and get started for just £4. Just visit cornerstone.co.uk and enter the code NRF1 at checkout. Visit cornerstone.co.uk to find out what a smooth shave actually feels like, and if you don't like your Cornerstone razor, Cornerstone will even give you your money back, no questions asked. Now, let's get back to that NRF1 podcast, shall we? Okay, well, I like asking this question. It's actually the final one, really, pretty much. Most important weekend for? Who is this weekend most important weekend for? Anyone?
The Finnish drivers.
Oh, nice, Rich.
Because they've both got something to prove, in a way, after the criticism they came, you know, coming from China. We know they're good. They just need to give us a reminder of that, I suppose.
Like that. A great shout.
Is Giovinazzi going to be driving?
Well, we don't know yet, do we? So it could be Pascal, the lion, could be Giovinazzi.
Well, if it's Giovinazzi, then, just for the sake of... I don't know, has integrity or anyone having any semblance of respect for him. Probably him.
That was a great shout.
Stroll. Obviously, I thought he was a bit unlucky with the crash in China, but just needs a decent, solid weekend to finish. And yeah, Stroll.
He had a decent qualifying, didn't he? Did he have a decent qualifying? Or did I make that up? So he had a decent qualifying.
Yeah. So he just needs a solid weekend. Nothing spectacular, just a solid... Maybe a points finish.
It's all the thing you get from an inexperienced driver. Yeah.
A jog rather than a stroll.
He's good, isn't he?
I was just going to say, on the subject of Giovinazzi, at least when he crashes, he goes big.
Whereas such a rich point. I love it. Too right.
Maldonado got bored. He'd stare at nothing, and then he'd drive onto the grass and spin round, and you'd be like, "What an idiot!" At least Giovinazzi, when he loses it, he's not deliberately done it because he's got bored or he's done something stupid. It's like a genuine driver error almost. You know, he's driven around the corner, he's hit a wet patch, it snaps on him, he's spun, he's hit a wall hard, he's ripped the front and the back off the car, and then what, got out and ran off. And yeah,
he did. It was hilarious how he literally ran. It was like, get me out of here, I've done it again. Hilarious. Right, okay, well, I think we're done here. Let me just give you our social media channels, as always. Twitter and Facebook are both at the NRF1, or you can visit fb.me/the NRF1 for Facebook. Lots of things coming up for you, interaction, and of course our prediction league update and details, and our predictions ahead of Bahrain. We'll be with you very shortly in a separate podcast, literally a matter of hours, so keep an eye out on your feeds for that. And if you want to subscribe, whatever you want to do with the NRF1 podcast, if you want to read any of our blogs, whatever, nrf1.uk is the website. And email us, please do, nrf1podcast@gmail.com. We love getting those as well. Right, if you want to get involved in the Prediction League as well, it's worth pointing out, all you need to do is put your predictions forward on Twitter and Facebook before the start of FP1 each race weekend. But we'll get more into that in our Prediction podcast, which is on our way. Don't forget, we also have a YouTube channel, which is nrf1.uk/nrf1tube. And you can see our take on going around karting at Ella Park. Obviously, scene of Kyle's past glories.
Yes, and I have done a Bottas. I've spun on a warm-up lap, so
like an amateur.
Like an amateur. So,
well, you called it. As long as you call it, then that's fine. And you can also catch my chat with Norfolk boy and former BBC F1 presenter Jake Humphrey. That's on the podcast playlist as well. But until next time, gents, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
And thanks, of course, as always, to our proud partners, Grand Prix Racing Online. You can sign up at gpro.net/NRF1. This has been the NRF1 podcast. The prediction fund will be with you soon. Until then, goodbye!